caught by Boquist, and he does an inverted twist. Is he in? He is. Touchdown, Bo Boquist, and that could be Jerk Tanger.
Simon Rumpfel has it. Simon inside the five. Sis boom ball. Simon Rumpfel, his second touchdown today.
UND Football 360.
Isaiah trying to get outside, a stiff arm, shuts him down, 20, inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. Oh, that right arm, that stiff arm, and the book of Isaiah has given North Dakota a first down.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast. With your hosts, Kelly Howe, Matt Nelson, and Dave McNamara.
Well, the good news is we've all been to the doctor this week. Our hearts have checked out after the little stress on the heart there in the first quarter on Saturday, guys. I don't know about you, but I was a little worried there for a while. And thankfully, we got out of the funk and put three quarters of football together. And the good news is, right, we came out with a W, right? That's the main thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah, the W is nice, but boy, I really hope, we've talked about it, that having a letdown maybe one of these games, but hopefully we learned our lessons and move on and come back a refreshed team this week against Murray.
It happens, and that's why there's a thing called letdown in, you know, college football, college sports in general, right? Yeah. But to see how they reacted to it was awesome. I mean, that was just totally unexpected. Because
that's a silver lining.
The first quarter, you know, and this happens with every team. Okay, when I played, I think it was, we went down to South Dakota State. I've talked about that a lot. We went down there. We were number four in the country, undefeated, I think. We just beat NDSU. I believe we had just beat Northern Colorado. So we were on top of the world.
Ronick?
Yeah, Ronick. Yeah. And they kicked six different kinds of dog crap out of us. 21-7, I think it was. I mean, it felt like 50-7. I mean, they just ran all over us. We could keep them out of the end zone. Everyone, so we couldn't get anything going. No juice. It was a bad letdown. It was exactly what we harp on here. So it happens to every team. But the way that this team recovered in the second quarter was unbelievable. And I'll say this. The Sawyer Seidel 70-yard touchdown run changed the game. That's it. I mean, for me, there's no way you can say it didn't completely, because the defense was worried. The offense was probably not quite as worried, because they usually get it going, you know, as the game goes on. They know what their game plan is. But the defense had nothing. They had nothing going on. No, they weren't covering anyone. They weren't pressuring the quarterback. They were doing, I don't know what was going on. But whatever happened, that first quarter was like, Oh my God, is this the same team we've been watching all year? And second quarter comes around, Sawyer Seidel breaks that run, and all of a sudden,
boom,
the boys are active, and Pedigo's everywhere, Josh Navratil's coming up. I mean, I was like, holy crap.
We'll get more into it in our Kelly Howe Agency game review. Kelly's, because it's his segment, I think, trying to jump the gun a little bit there.
I think so. He gets excited.
Just let me talk, Tate. Just let me go. Don't throttle me
there, buddy. Yeah. I think it was a big day for the university, because I wasn't there. But watching video and seeing the social media presence and the write-up about what went on, talk about a first-class presentation for a first-class facility at the softball field on Saturday after the game. Wow.
Yeah, I saw some of the clips, and what an impressive place to play softball at.
Yeah.
And just for the student-athletes and then the fans, too, there. I mean,
Thanks to the fans for turning out.
1,500, I think they said.
Yeah.
Well, just got to be about full.
For a ceremony, not even a game, right?
No. So, there was a game.
D2 Northwest Missouri.
Yeah.
D2 game afterwards.
Oh,
kind
okay.
of a symbol.
Okay.
Yeah, game. But it was, I mean, the juices were, everyone was, you know, excited just because that's as nice of a field as we got. I mean, if you want to compare quality of fields, I mean, the Ralph, in stadiums, Ralph's number one, but this might be number two. That thing's beautiful.
Yeah, very gorgeous. Beautiful. And good to see the softball program get that. Homecoming week. As a student athlete, you're getting ready for the game on Saturday. Does it mean much to you? I mean, when you guys played, did you have many former football players come in and talk to the team? Did they do much of that?
Yeah. We always had that group that was being honored at the Hall of Fame, or the, you know, they always had honorees that came back and visited us at practice. And that's where it really sunk in, like, okay, this is something special here as a student athlete up at UND. And you really kind of took it home where, okay, this is something, this means a lot more than just me playing football. This, a lot of people are, who had played here in years past, are watching us, and you know, they expect stuff out of you too, you know, where like, okay, I want to meet their expectations. So it means a little bit more during homecoming.
Yeah, you start to learn, you know, just like we're sitting here now, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you learn that it stays with people when they leave, and the memories stay with them, and they're proud. It's just a pride thing, and you want to represent them well, and you want them to, you know, be proud of you.
Yeah.
You know, no matter, you know, you play hard, go out there, play hard, play a clean game, represent the university, and hopefully you get a win when you should get a win. You know, that
type of thing. John Goodman said in Revenge of the Nerds, if you don't win homecoming, you don't get a bowl invite. You don't get a bowl invite, you don't get booster support. So it is a big week. And do you feel it when you take the field? Does it feel a little different on home, like Saturday?
Yeah.
The stadium has a little different jive to it, guessing.
Right? The week, once again, it's like Potato Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, the week is a little different, a little more, you know, not just a normal week. There's more going on around town. You hear from a few more people than normal. You know, a few more people are coming into town and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, it's a fun week. And, you know, we've had some, there are issues for teams on homecoming week because they get distracted. There's been that. That's every team. They're where all of a sudden they come out on their home game where you think it'd be the opposite, where they're just juiced up and they're going to destroy them. Nope, they were distracted all week. They came out not looking very good, and things go awry. I think it was 2015 Idaho State. I want to say when we dropped that was homecoming, I think. It was bad. Like, we weren't ready to go at all. And, you know, we always just talk about UND because that's all we're here for.
Yeah.
But this happens across the country. I mean, you'll see a homecoming game at FBS level, and they don't look the same just because all week, you know, kind of got caught up in things.
And I think we played in Omaha during our homecoming a couple years in a row, and they were just, and I think we lost to them twice in 2 years in a row.
Never a fun game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homecoming this week really means something special, especially for like our age group, Kelly, very special inductee going in.
Yeah, we got for football this year, the Hall of Fame class. So Hall of Fame and homecoming are combined. A lot of times they don't do that, but I don't know. This year,
it's kind of nice.
Yeah, put them together.
And everyone's home, right?
One big one. Yeah. Yep. So Mike Volker is going in this year, 1976 to 79, safety. So I can appreciate that. 15 career interceptions. I had heard his name a lot over the years. Very good player. Three-time All-NCC selection. You know, he played quite a while ago, and it's kind of surprising it took him. But the way they do these, you know, there's just no rhyme or reason. I think names just come up, and they kind of vote on them. And, you know, no-brainers, he'll suddenly pop up, and you got to get them in like Jimmy. You know, speaking of Jimmy, a couple weeks ago I saw he was at the game. Montana game. I talked to him on the sideline. First time I talked to him in a number of years. And, yeah, walked up behind him, and he was talking to someone else. Gave him a slap on the ass. I think I scared the hell out of him because I hadn't talked to him for quite a few years.
Not too many people probably do that.
You're right. That's what I was like. I was like, what the hell? You know, we were four years together, same age at UND.
Really hasn't let himself go too much, right?
No,
still
no.
Big boy.
He's a big dude. Yeah. Yep. And he turned around with a look on his face like, who the hell? Did that.
Yeah.
Big smile though. And it was good to see him. But Mike Volker, well deserved. You know, that's a good one for us to get in for football. And then, you know, another one I wanted to point to, who was up there, obviously, you know, when I was Katie Richards, who passed away, you know, a year ago, you know, a tough situation with a car accident. She was obviously an outstanding basketball player, but a great person too. Everybody loved Katie. Just her intensity, funny, just a good person. And she's going in, which, you know, she was bound to go in here one of these years regardless. She was there a year younger than me, so 3 years when I was up there, she played. She was on all three of those national championship teams. And the funny, I was telling Matt off air, aggressive, just physically aggressive. like a, I mean, you can't tell the difference between Katie or a guy playing basketball. She'd just get after you. You know, she was just good, and she wanted to, you know, she wanted to beat up on the other team. And
well, not many could go coach a high school boys basketball team like she did, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's,
I don't think anyone thought anything of it, right?
When example it, one right there. Yeah. And, but she was just, and she was probably, I mean, if you want to rank players on the team, she was probably the third best player on the team, you know, arguably second. You know,
a little
Jenny
bit
Krause
of talent on that.
Yeah,
team, right?
I mean, I'm like, that's why they won three national championships. Like, holy cow! And, but yeah, it's I'm excited for her family. You know, just to get her honored, and you know, it was it's good. It's good to get her in. And Todd Johnson is another one I wanted to mention. Basketball player. Yeah, TJ, he was
pretty good teams as well, right?
Yeah, he was, 90 to 95. He was, I was living in Grand Forks and going to Red River. So, yeah, I went to all the games. My mom worked out there. So I went to, I mean, 100 basketball games. I went to a lot since I was a kid. And Todd was in there in that era. Great player, low post, 6'7" guy.
Yeah.
This is well deserved, too. Just a fun guy, too. Cool. Everybody liked Todd. So that was, this is a good class. I really like this Hall of Fame class. And then who's the who did I have? The honorary letter winner, Chris Engelstad, which, you know, obviously people think of the Engelstad Family Foundation and they think it's hockey. You know, they immediately think hockey, obviously. You know, I get it. But they do so much more for this campus. And the teams on this campus, and when I say teams, I put plural teams, not just hockey, football, you name it, they're giving scholarships, scholarship money.
They're a big part of the summer school, right?
Right. Yep. They pay first
because the summer school
to get
tuition.
Kids on campus. Yep. They want to have them take a couple classes, right, in the summer, you know, just to get things sped up a little bit. Why not?
Get them on campus to work out with the team, too, right?
Yeah. And so they need money. You know, extra money, they could probably find it, but they ask, hey, you know, donors, hey, can anybody help us out? Engelstad step up for that. So they do a lot more on campus with little fanfare. They don't want fanfare. I mean, they're not asking for any fanfare in these things. They're just doing it behind the scenes. Chris Engelstad and her family and her son, just a great family. I really respect the more I hear about it. It's not, I mean, hockey's just one piece of this puzzle. Sure, they built that building and they keep it up to date. Yeah, I'd keep it up to date too. I mean, honest to God, they put a lot of money into it to keep the locker rooms up to date. Well, I would too if I had a building like that.
Right, and the Betty next door for basketball and volleyball games. I mean,
they donated that.
Yeah, it's all their family is very well.
I don't know the number of academic scholarships they give, but it's a lot. Okay, so we're not talking sports here. We're talking the general population gets academic scholarship. So this is a good honor for her. I'm glad they could give her this award.
Well, that's great. Well, we're excited for homecoming. A great week to get up to Grand Forks if it's been a while. And I'm sure you'll see some old friends up there. So head on up. Hey, we want to thank our sponsors that help us do the UND Football 360 pregame show every week. Rumor Sports Bar, Grill and Casino. And there's a rumor that this podcast could be recorded up there sometime this year.
I've heard that too. I don't know who's been spreading it. You'd think I would hear it, but
right?
Am I supposed to be up in Grand Forks here in the next?
So do we got to put a rule on how many we can have during the podcast, or is it?
Well,
feel that one out. We'll see.
If we were actually on the air live, I think we'd have to cap it. But we can do what we want.
I'm a week to week guy. Never look too far ahead. Our Super Bowl is every Saturday, so I don't know. Yeah. I haven't looked ahead. Who is the next team after Murray?
Well, if we're gonna go up, and we were gonna do an on site show.
I think
maybe stop in next week could probably be a good one.
For whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, don't want to look too far ahead, but yeah, I think next week would be a good week to do that.
The Bison Week?
Is it?
The Bison Week?
Okay. I was wondering. Yeah. I don't know. I can't do it. So
I fully expect a result the same as last year's result, too. I mean, I'm probably going to pick 49-24.
In their house?
Yeah.
It would be a little more special, right? If we did it at their house.
No.
Thanks so much for Rumors. Development Home Inks, gaming, simulcast, horse racing, pull tabs, Blackjack, Pig Wheel, thanks so much to Development Home Inks, the Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance. And, yeah, if you need a quote, Kelly, can they give you a call? Or
yes, they can.
Will you answer your phone?
At all times.
Sometimes.
Always available.
I call him. I call him. He answers most of the time.
I'm
not a client yet, though, but if you're a client, he'll pick up right away.
Toasted Frog, fine dining at its best in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo. That 1883 Collective, it's the new arm to UND Athletics. On its own, but they're helping with the NIL money, and they could use your help. So if you haven't heard about the 1883 Collective and you're a fan of UND Athletics, definitely something to check out. And, you know, they'll take $20 a month. That would be perfect. That's what they're looking for, and the big ones as well. But everyone needs to get involved in that. Interstate Industrial, steam cleaning and painting in the Bakken oil fields, Marty Shade. Thank you so much, and you know, he's going to be excited next week, I'm sure, right?
Talk to Marty.
The whole family will be, right?
Yeah, when I was up there a few weeks ago, Monty was back. His brother was with him. Yep, so Marty and Monty were both there, so it was good to see those two. But you know a place that's going to be busy this weekend? Really busy? Toasted Frog. Everyone comes back into town. The Toasted Frog is jam-o'd. I mean, we're talking fire marshal. Get the fire marshal on the horn because it's going to be busy there. So I would get out, think about getting in there a little earlier than
the
normal.
The menu and the ambiance sells itself, right? Yep. I mean, there isn't anything better. American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara, just got back from Chicago and was doing some industry training and got a lot of ideas for future customers. So got a few things up my sleeve I'd love to pass on to you. So
speaking of which, we got our... we get our t-shirt order in and t-shirt and koozies order in.
The koozies are on their way already.
All right.
And I got to talk to you about the t-shirts.
We're doing an airdrop, right? Just like the turkey drop?
Yeah.
Over the tailgating. Stand on top of the Alaris Center. I'm going to put a rock on it.
Can we get one of those guns that shoot the t-shirts at the Red Hawks games?
Ooh, that would be fun. And again, thank you to the KFGO crew for allowing us to bring you the pregame show every week as we record it in their facility. So thanks again. Well, let's move along to the game review. Finally, Kelly can tell us his thoughts. He's been waiting over there.
He's been chomping at the
bit. It's the Kelly Howe Agency game review, again, with Nodak Insurance. It was a 41-24 win, but there was a while there, fellas, where I didn't think we were going to get there.
Oof.
41 looked like it was going to be tough to reach. And Matt and I look like a bunch of idiots on our pregame prediction. But I'm just going to tell you guys, I got caught up as a fan going into this game. And
that's what I expected.
A top 10 team going against a Pioneer. You look at it, and I'm like, this is the week we're going to take care of business. And would you say we came out flat? Is that a good, just best way to sum it up?
Best way to put it, pretty flat. Yep, they were they weren't getting much done in that first quarter, like I said. But to their credit, second quarter came around, got their spark they needed from Sawyer Seidel, and all of a sudden the defense is juiced up, and they're looking like they did the first few weeks, thankfully. So what was it, 14-10? I think we're down at half, but you know, it felt like, okay, all right, we're starting to turn things around a little bit heading into the half. But this team comes out of the locker room like none I've ever seen
before. Guns
a-blazing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it, and it sounds like the seniors are and the leaders are doing their part. It's just not the coaching staff, but like in game, is it someone on the sideline to help get the ball rolling, you know, because
you got to have someone to look to.
I've mentioned it before, but it comes down to that junior and senior class where it's like, okay, the coaches have done their part all week.
Yeah.
Getting you prepared. Game time is all about the guys in the locker room and your will to win the game. And that's on the players. And when you start out the way that we did, and we didn't really start out awful. We got an interception first series of the game. I mean, things were going well, right? But then it just kind of went sideways. Lost the mojo. What if for whatever reason. But to correct the ship, it comes down to the players just willing it out on the field, in my opinion. That it comes down to them and those seniors and juniors that step up and say, okay, enough is enough.
Because, Kelly, were they doing anything to us?
No. Drop back passing. We just didn't cover anyone a few times. They made plays. Jaceem Reed's a good receiver. He made some plays on his own. Okay. All right. So it was just one of those deals where sense of urgency, I guess you could say, wasn't there. You know, they kind of had to get their wake-up call, and I think those first two touchdowns were it. But
14-3, the scoreboard. That'll that as a reminder, that should help, right?
You read press clippings, you start to hear how good you are, and this is what happens. You know, you come out. But like I said, to their credit, that was a quick turnaround. Sometimes it might take till the third or fourth quarter, and you eke out a 3-point win, and everyone's still a little worried. And oh boy, you know, well, they won 41-24, so they pulled away pretty significantly. And credit to the offense. You know, the offense came out in that third quarter, and they had 11 yards passing at half, I believe, is what it was. First quarter at 22 yards. And third quarter, we come out, bomb, another stock and go. I mean, it was like, whoa, okay. You know, stock and go to Bo. And I think they must have just figured out, okay, well, we have to get a rhythm. Let's get in rhythm downfield. Because it's there. You know, there was a lot of man-to-man going on by San Diego. So playing one high, man-to-man, and typically you like to run against that because they're out, because the guys who are playing man aren't good in run coverage, you know, whatever. So, but Isaac Fricke said, okay, you're going to play man. We think our guys are better than you. Now we're going to expose it. And he just went after him. And, yeah, geez, I mean, that was – the one to DeMontagnac, I don't know, that was a 50-50 ball when they hit the ground. I don't know if he had it or not, but one of the two had it. They thought they had it. We thought we had it. And I think it was interference anyway, but we got the yardage. We got 38 yards for it instead of the 15. So, it was good. It was encouraging. The way to sum it up, I mean, it was encouraging to see, you know, the stuff I got written down. Bo Bellquist, you know, he only had three catches, but 116 yards. Two touchdowns. Erkman with his first interception, always big. Devin Hembry had another interception. So he's been playing well, putting himself in good spots. Once again, the defense, Pettigo and Navratil leading the way again.
Yeah, and Elijah Beach, the big guy in the middle, good. You know, another tackle for loss. So a lot of great things are happening, and just need a little kickstart this past week, I think.
Yeah, we end up with 267 yards rushing. And it seemed like it was slow moving a little bit, but then Isaiah Smith started to break it at the end there. He started to pile up the yards, we would have had the long touchdown run. They called. I played that back a few times. Bo grabbed the receiver on the back of the jersey. You know, I know why they called it. They didn't need to call it. The guy wasn't getting Isaiah, but probably can't grab. You know, as soon as his hand went out, it's like, you know, the ref was on the other side of the guy. So all he saw was Bo's arm out and that guy kind of looking like, oh, I'm being held, you know, or something like that. And the guy sold it. And so we got that one called back, but then we just kept moving forward. So the nice thing I like about this, we can salt away games.
Yeah.
Because by about the third or fourth quarter, we seem to be in the rhythm up front. We got our blocking schemes down, whichever way they want to do them, your duos, your whatever they call that stuff these days. We seem to get it dialed into what we want to do by then. And then the holes start to open. So no, it was a I really loved the way the game ended.
I liked your you know, talking about the running game. I liked your tweet this week about the rushing attack. Oh, I hope we can keep these guys fresh all year. It was 13-13-13 carries, right?
And one touchdown.
That's a pretty good recipe, isn't it?
Well, I think last week we had four guys with four different touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. So our offensive game plan is very dynamic and mixed for a rushing game. So it's just adds to that powerhouse offense that we.
Yeah, Zeebarth looked like it was an ankle. I watched that one back. I mean, he must have been his 13th carry. I'm assuming he went down and twisted. You know, he likes to fight and he's dragging guys, and the guy held on to his ankles underneath the guy's body, and I think there was something like that they were working on, and he was kind of limping. So I don't. Unless something happened to break, you know, a tiny bone broken thing, but I doubt it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, if anything, if there's any issues at all, he would sit this week. This is the week you say we don't need, you know, you don't need him game. So
the nice thing is they all give you something a little different, and you can play your game because you got pretty good arsenal in the well, right?
Smith can be the power back. Yeah, I mean, he's shown he can get up in there when need be.
And a couple years ago, he put on, 10, 15 pounds of muscle, too, because we needed a guy to do that before Gavin came on scene.
Well, he showed up, I think. Well, he was the guy who showed up, 2:30?
Yeah.
Then they said, we want you to lose weight. It got down to like 190 or 195. Well, okay, now you're a little thin. Now let's go back up. So I'm guessing he's in that 210 range, something like that, which is perfect.
Right,
and
right.
He still has the breakaway speed for the long runs.
Well, defensively, Kelly, you've talked about it this year, how the defense not doing anything so much scheme-wise differently, but they just have a different look and energy to them. And do you think that's the reason why the turnovers are popping up like they are?
I think so.
It comes with that?
Yeah, they're putting themselves in position. It's, you know, it's good calls, you know, but it's Hembry out there. When you're playing corner, you got to see stuff. You got to see it and see it and see it and learn. You know, the best example I have is my kid is a junior now in high school, first year starting at corner. He hasn't seen anything. So every game he's seeing something. He's seeing route combinations. He's seeing a faster receiver. He's seeing a slower receiver. He's seeing a 6'4 receiver. He's seeing, you know, a 5'10 receiver who's, you know, run. They all run different stuff. And you got to just see things to where now when you're dropping back, you know, I'm trying to tell him, the further you drop back, the softer you play, the better, because you get a picture. You know, take a picture of the scene, you know, and now you're seeing these combinations develop and you can jump stuff. Hembry's been playing off. And sure, he might get beat for some 5-yard stuff, some maybe 8-yard outs. All right, we'll tighten up later in the game. Get beat early. Get a picture of things. And when he's making his interceptions, it's when he's dropping back. He's dropping back into coverage. He's reading the route combinations. I think it was the 92-yard interception. He was halfway in between the corner route and the hitch. An out and a corner route. He sat halfway in between. That's veteran move. He didn't jump either one of them. I can get to either one of them from here, is what he said. He saw that hand go up, jump the out, gone. You know, gone down the sideline. And he could have got to the corner route too. So what you're seeing is an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Antonio Blewett on the other side is going through that right now. He hasn't seen anything. He's just got to play. He's got to see speed, see team, see concepts, see everything, right?
And how long can that take?
A year. It can take a while. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't pick it up in a couple weeks. But, no. It can take the full year. By the end of the year, Antonio Blewett's going to be a different player than he was against
Montana.
Matt,
you mentioned, your sophomore year, you could go out and play.
With confidence, it takes you a couple of years, especially with that check defense, with that 3-4. Yep. The other X factor I'd want to add to that is our three guys up front are producing a lot more this year. Where we're getting into the backfield, we've talked about it, tackles for loss. That gives those corners a little bit extra time. And if that quarterback knows that, hey, I got to get it out a few seconds earlier, and then they start to make those mistakes.
Yeah, timing's off.
Timing's off, and the corners can jump balls a little quicker. So I think we're just playing really good team defense, what it comes down to. We're all playing our positions, and everything is in sync, and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's team. Complementary football, too, is the best way to put it, offense versus defense. They're getting the ball back, and then the offense, you see the other tweet I put out with the drive link? With the our drives we've had this year,
I don't read everyone, but I read most of your tweets.
23 plays, 88 yards, 16 plays, 75 yards. I laid out the best ones, and starting with I think the shortest one I put was we had a 10 play, 39 yard drive. Okay, let's do the math on that, guys. 10 plays, 39 yards is all we got. But I put that one in there for fun just to show how we are more than willing to take 3 or 4 yards per play, like Bobby Houck said, right? But it's complementary football. So the defense is sitting on the sideline, not getting tired, and getting their talk in. Hey, the coaches come over, first thing they said, hey, what'd you see? If they know what the problem was, they come over and tell you. Hey, back to that play, the big one, you know, down the sideline here. The guys line up, get the grease board out. They start drawing, you know. But if everything looked okay, they come over. Hey, what do we see? Good? Okay? All right.
Hydrate.
And then they walk off. Yeah. But, you know, just to make sure everyone's okay. But if there was an issue, they get it in, right? They get over there. But now they have 8 game minutes to get the issue resolved. Well, they get it resolved in 2 game minutes. Now the defense coordinator is standing there with Joel Schwenzer standing there with his arms crossed, just kind of watching the game. We already got our checks in. You know, we're done. We're good. Yep, we're good, Bubba. Go, just I don't know. We're good. Yep. So, I don't know what to say anymore. We got it in so long ago now. Now the guys are getting kind of tight on the sidelines, you know, and stuff. But they're not out there as much. And that's the key. The defense, too. They're fresh. They get time to make their mental adjustments. You know, if something went wrong, no. Here, you know, they'll tell you if something went wrong. No, you're supposed to do this.
But the nice thing is, too, we're playing pretty clean to get these drives, right? I mean, we're not getting those drive killers penalties, right?
We had many holding penalties this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we had more penalties last week. But those were general penalties.
Last week, we had 8 for 77 yards.
That's really poor for us.
That's significant.
But
back
to your point, Tank, like you're talking holdings, false starts.
Just
false
those drive killers, right? I mean, we haven't
false
seen a lot
be a
of
killer
it.
For us. You know, we don't want to be first and 20, this type of offense. When we're ahead of schedule, we are unbelievably
and we
good on
have
offense.
Been most of the time.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't. You guys remember how many holding penalties? I got to go back and look. But
no, we don't get many of those. The ones we get are like the ones that were on Bo, that holding call.
That was downfield.
Downfield, like it's those ones that probably happen most of the plays. It's just that the refs just.
I think
our O line's
playing pretty clean.
Yeah,
they're playing clean. They're getting on guys and not not getting beat a lot. You know, they right away. You know, like Beecher got beat off the edge, but he's in his first game. He's in his first game against Iowa State and Montana. But one thing I've watched with Beecher, though, I was watching this last game, in run blocking, he is a mean man. Like, he's one of those guys that gets in there and then the play starts. Once he makes contact with you, now the play starts. And all of a sudden, to the whistle, to the ground, and he starts getting after guys and... Yeah, he'll get the pass blocking part figured out, but you can't expect much. I mean, he's 6'7".
Teach that with a guy either, right? That
be an asshole? Yeah. No, not everyone. Not everyone is.
Who taught you?
Yeah. I tried to be. Nobody cared. I thought I was being tough out there, but he's 6'4", 190. I was like, nobody cares.
Do you remember the funniest thing you guys heard on the field that someone said to you? Speaking of which,
I popped in my head right when he said that was Govan, the Govanator. At Ryan Govan, what was he, 6'4", 240 outside linebacker? Okay, I mean, he's huge, right? Okay, he's at the bottom of a pile, and some guys, when they get out there, just juiced. I mean, Govan's on. He's one of the guys who's on all game. He's trying to kill people. He's just a different kid as soon as the helmet goes on, right? Man, there's a pile. Play's over. And all of a sudden, I'm standing on the pile, whatever, walking back. I hear, "You can't block me!" He's screaming from the bottom of the pile. I'm looking, we're all looking around like, who is that? We recognize the voice, but there he is. He blew the thing up and made sure he told the old lineman that they can't block him. And I'm like, my God. God, I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah.
That's one I'll never forget.
But you kind of like those football players where they're quiet, reserved, and then once that uniform pads go on, they're a machine.
Right.
How about you, man? You remember hearing just like, wow.
I do and I don't, I mean, there's so much. I talked a little bit, but like there's other guys that talked a lot during the game. And, that I got into a few scuffles with like the tackles because I was outside backer and then a defensive end, too. And so, we would go back and forth. But it was the dirty plays is what I remember when the offensive tackles were trying to like hit you in the nuts as soon as you got by them or like tried to trip you and shit like that. But, it's the dirty stuff that I remember. So then the next play, I would probably put his hand up in the throat and try to get my fingers underneath his face mask and go up. Sorry about that.
I had a bug up there. Oh, the fun parts. I'm sure there's a football player could write a book about what's going on at the bottom of those piles, right? Yeah, it's kind of fun. Let's move forward here. Trip around the Missouri Valley. This year it looks like we could have a dogfight for the title this year for the conference title.
Well, I'm starting at the top of the – I use the Missouri Valley. I like to use their printout. Youngstown State. Oof. I mean, I think we talked about it last week, but there's issues there. I mean, they lost 73-17 to Pitt, which, all right, they weren't going to beat Pitt, but that's their third loss. They lost to Duquesne. They lost to Villanova, who's good. So they're 1-3. Okay, you want to make the playoffs – okay, they got a lot of tough games coming up, and yeah, there's issues. There's issues in Youngstown right now. They got to be considered a disappointment. I mean, they thought this would be. They lost a ton of guys on defense. I get that, but they thought they were going to be good this year. When you listen to their media and stuff,
it,
you know,
their O line last year, like one of the best O lines we played against.
Yeah, good, solid. Like,
I'm remembering that right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, coaching, the UND coaching staff said they were top three O line, solid unit. Protected well, but yeah, they got issues. And the other disappointing team, when you flip the page, Northern Iowa, they cannot get in the end zone.
Yeah.
They scored 7 against Hawaii. I mean, now I understand you flew all the way out there. Things could be off a little bit, but Hawaii's not any good. And they can't score. They struggled. It was 30, I think it was 35-7 against Valpo. They only put up 35 against Valpo.
Oh.
Jeez. You know, yeah. I mean, Valpo's not good. They can't score. So they're, I think, Northern Iowa, major disappointment.
It wasn't just the trip that got them. They've got other issues.
Yeah, they're not putting up any points. But yeah, other than that, you know, NDSU 41-24 over Towson. They got offense. NDSU offense really good. NDSU defense not as good. It's trouble with the run. Can't stop the run this year. Giving up 200 a game, you know. Each team's getting over 200 on them, which is highly unusual, you know, for NDSU.
I just found out like 20 minutes ago the Bison are next week, so that could be good for us, right?
Well, if we can run the ball
pretty well.
Yeah, hopefully we can do it in the Fargo Dome. You know, everything changes when we get in there. But yeah, they're putting up points though, and they're winning games, so they're always going to be good. South Dakota 42-3 over Drake. That's a good win. Drake's a good team.
Yeah,
I mean, Drake's a top three Pioneer team.
That's for sure.
They won it last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 42-3. That's impressive. And then how about them getting their game called off at Portland State?
Eesh.
Whooping cough.
Because they wanted to forfeit, right? That's what they were looking for.
Well, they want the win for later.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And they lost it. So
they
now
called
they're
it
down
a no contest, right?
So now if they're 7 wins, you know, they got to get more. Ooh, boy, now you're 7-4, you know, oh, boy. Okay, you know, dicey instead of 8-4, you know, or something like that. So, yeah, that was interesting. I don't know. I would be pissed if I was South Dakota.
I would be, too.
Apparently, the NCAA wasn't biting on their, you know.
Are we surprised, though, that the NCAA did that? I put in a tweet,
they use COVID. Well, here's what we did in COVID.
Yeah.
Well, COVID was stupid. Okay, COVID was handled wrong pretty much by everyone because nobody knew what was going on except for the people who, I will digress. But okay, so everyone handled it wrong. Everyone thought they were doing the right thing, and as it turns out, everyone handled it wrong. Whatever, it's over, okay? You don't use COVID as the reason to, you know, like, hey, here's what we did in COVID. Yeah, well, everything we did then was
It's
dumb.
Not the right benchmark, I don't right? think, that we want to use.
Yeah, so anyway, I feel bad for him, but moving ahead, South Dakota State, 41-0, Southeastern Louisiana, on the road, 41-0. Anytime you blank anyone, that's pretty good. Offense, you know, their offense has been struggling a little bit, but it was a solid, like, I watched some of it, just a slow churn, domination. Southeastern Louisiana had nothing for them. So.
Is that where the water boy played, the Mud Dogs? Louisiana State University or something like
that. Is that what they're called?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh,
could have been.
I just had that on like 5 minutes in my hotel room this week earlier.
Okay.
I hadn't seen that movie for a long time.
But yeah, here's a surprise. SEMO beat up on Southern Illinois. You know, Southern Illinois has looked all right this year.
Yeah.
They're not dominant, but they've looked all right. They lost some pieces. Quarterback went out for the year. Who? I believe DJ Williams, he was the quarterback for Murray State last year.
Okay.
Remember the guy tore us up and kept hitting third and 18s on us constantly, or what was that, fourth and 15 we gave up that one?
Mm-hmm.
Or we got a penalty. Boy. Anyway, he was the quarterback for Murray last year, goes to Southern Illinois and got hurt. And I don't know if he's out for the year, but he's out for a while. So that's hurt him. So, yeah, that might have been the issue in this one, but that's a tough loss. You know, you hate to lose to an Ohio Valley team, you know, just for the end of the year when it comes to comparison purposes, because SEMO, Southern Illinois, UND, whatever, they're all kind of in the same basket when it gets the end of the year for, you know, for at-large bids.
So with the upper half of the conference right now, do you think it could be a fun couple weeks, the last few weeks of the season, to see who's going to win this thing?
Well, Missouri State. They beat UT Martin, who's pretty good. Missouri State's going to be in there. So we don't play them this year, which is probably good. They're going to upset some people, I think. Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I'm looking at these things. Illinois State, right in there. They're kind of lethargic right now a little bit, but good. You know, they were going to be good. We know that. This is as wide open as the Missouri Valley's been in quite a while, in my opinion.
A two-team race?
No.
I don't think at all.
No, those two teams go on the road. If those two top two have to go on the road to, in Illinois State, Missouri State, Southern Illinois, stuff like these, those are all good teams that can win on any given week. They can also lose. So that's where the parity this year is a little different. I think it's going to be more fun. I think we're going to see some two, maybe three lost teams, you know, right up at the top. And, yeah, I don't know. There's a chance, you know, for UND.
So
you know, why not?
There's a chance.
Yeah. Huh? You know,
somebody has
famous
to lead,
last
right?
words, but, right. You know, I mean, there's a chance this year. It's going to be an interesting season.
Well, moving right along, it is the Development Homes 360 guest segment. And, boy, we really need to roll out the red carpet today, fellas. We got a big one on the line. Tom Miller, the beat writer for UND football from the Grand Forks Herald, a guy I enjoy reading every week. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, that money I gave you is paying off for me here with that intro. Appreciate
it really
that.
Is, but I see you guys in newspaper get paid the same we do in radio, so that payment wasn't much, but I know it'll probably set you back a couple weeks, Tom. But
well, it moves the needle for me, yeah.
Yeah, before we start on last week's game, what's your overall impression of UND football right now?
Well, I think I've been surprised by the offensive line play. I thought that, there was potential for that to be a disaster, really, just considering, you know, what that five would have looked like a year ago. I think there had to have been real concern about how that was going to play out. So I think, you know, after the victory over Montana, you know, you kind of have to reassess expectations a little bit and, you know, North Dakota's on a pretty good path here, as you kind of anticipated. This string of three games is being a kind of you hope to get right, so to speak, in this stretch leading into North Dakota State. So expectations were raised, I think, a little bit just because of the play of the offensive line, especially against Iowa State and Montana. But obviously quite a bit to clean up as well. Not the prettiest Pioneer League matchup last week.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute, Tom, because, yeah, I think everyone was a bit alarmed by that first quarter, so to speak. I mean, I was surprised, to say the least. But, you bring up O-line play, and, you know, we've all been obviously pleasantly surprised. What's your take on pass protection? Have you been able to glean anything from the coaching staff or when you're watching? I mean, because it doesn't seem like Romfo's really getting rushed. I mean, he's getting rid of it fairly quick, you know, which is part of the game. But it seems like the pass protection is probably better than we thought it was going to be, too.
Yeah, you know, I can think of a couple instances that I thought maybe at left tackle they lost a one-on-one matchup, more probably in the Montana game as I think back now. But I think the protection has been okay. I think sometimes it's almost hard to read the protection because you have a 5'9" quarterback. And that pocket seems to shrink a little extra fast when you're a smaller guy sometimes. So they've been better in the pass protection. And like you said, I don't think this is going to be a situation where they're going to ask Simon to take a 5-7 step drop and look around and think about things. He needs to start hitting that quick out to Bo and get some of those easy ones going again, like he did against Idaho State. That's just how I see it.
Back to that first quarter against San Diego, Tom. What the hell happened there? Oh, my God.
Yeah, what did the start of your column look like at the first quarter that you probably deleted? Take us through that.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, like, Friday morning I was on the radio with Paul Ralston, and I was kind of, you know, he was pumping up San Diego, and I was kind of saying, okay, hey, look, you know, it's still a Pioneer League team. You know, North Dakota's dismantled Pioneer League here the last few years, and, you know, I was like, oh, boy, I guess I was wrong. But, you know, I think some of it, too, is the team coming off a bye week like San Diego was, which Murray State also is, you know, just kind of picking North Dakota in a couple different ways, just kind of catching them on a couple things. And, you know, we have to remember that that's two brand new safeties back there. I imagine that probably played into some of that complete breakdown. And then, you know, the way that North Dakota isn't comfortable throwing the ball yet, you have the potential to have some of these kind of ugly three and outs a little bit before you start. You know, I was listening to Murray State football coach Jody Wright's press conference, and he talked about how North Dakota tries to kind of land some body punches before they kind of throw the haymakers in the second half. And, you know, it just felt like, you know, North Dakota wasn't on solid footing yet, kind of trying to establish themselves. And it can look kind of ugly when that passing game just isn't in sync. And right now they just don't feel like they're on a good page right there.
Yeah, I think especially the short game. I mean, he hit those long ones, and he's hitting a few long ones this year, but the short game seems to be out of sync, or, you know, we've seen a few drops to where, you know, that might have made Simon's numbers look a little better if those guys would have caught those crossing routes in particular.
The plus side to that, though, is the competition has been nice here these weeks to try and figure this out, right?
Well, that's kind of been the whole thing is, you know, you went through that Iowa State, Montana, and then you looked at the schedule – saying Idaho State, San Diego, and Murray State, and, you know, it kind of felt to me like, okay, you know, here's the baseline. Let's see what kind of progress can be made. And I thought in the Idaho State game, we saw some progress. You know, threw for more yards than Tommy Schuster did all of the previous season. So even if it wasn't pretty, you kind of had to look at the end results and be like, okay, well, even the threat of a run game is, you know, can lead to some big passing days. But then I thought, you know, if we were looking for progress, we saw regression in San Diego. And, like you said, it was the easier throws that just seem out of sync that, you know, really wasn't the issue that I saw with Simon, at fall camp. Now, I think there's also was bound to be some learning curve when it came to the pass rush you see at fall camp and the pass rush you see in real life as a shorter than average quarterback. So, you know, this is going to be a really big week to try to get right again. Boy, Murray State made it easy on the passing game in Kentucky a year ago. UND's got to hope that they can break free and just get some good vibes going heading into the Fargo Dome.
Hey, Tom, we've talked about it in the past few weeks, where UND's usually guaranteed one letdown game a year. And was this enough to get that out of the way, that letdown game? And do you think we've learned our lesson that, okay, this is a different prep week, we're taking stuff serious because now it's Missouri Valley? Or do you think maybe we might have another one down the road?
Yeah, you know, that's tough to say. But I think that San Diego was always bound to be the letdown game because of it's not the home opener, it's not Potato Bowl, it's not homecoming, it's not a brand name. It's the Pioneer League. I just felt like, you know, I think North Dakota was kind of fortunate to get 8,500 or whatever the attendance was. I think there was a potential for that to just be a game everybody was going to skip to lock up the lake place. And I just think that atmosphere, kind of that vibe, I kind of felt that in the Alaris. It just wasn't the juices flowing in that place. I think they'll be back for homecoming. And then I think going on the road, you know, I just think those four straight at home, sometimes maybe it felt like it was just too much old hat. And then, you know, you need to get on the road and remind people that it's kind of a fun thing to have a home game, not just what happens every week.
And speaking of juice, Tom, UND defense, we've been beating the drum every week on here, and I don't think we've had you on since we started talking about it, but this is a different-looking UND defense. This is a different-looking 3-4 than we've seen in the past. Now, the schemes might be the same, but the energy is different, okay? The desire, the want, the ball-hawking, the linebacker play in particular, all four of them. I mean, mm-hmm. I started down a path in my brain. Again, when I drive around, I start thinking about these things. I don't know, whatever. I think about UND football.
That's why your insurance rates are so high, right?
Yeah. Gotta focus more.
Good thing you have a good insurance man,
yeah,
right?
Right. But I was thinking, yeah, geez, Pettigo. You know, Pettigo's just wild right now, and he's everywhere. You know, McNeil's the faster, twitchier linebacker. He's everywhere. Oh, then, geez, Rucker, man, boy, he's playing well. And then all of a sudden, well, obviously Navratil pops up in my head because he's probably the best of all four of them right now as far as the senior leadership making plays, you know, just what we've talked about the last few years. And all of a sudden, we said outside linebacker was a detriment coming into the season. And it's probably, Tom, I don't know, is it the strength of the strength of the team right now?
Yeah, you know, I spent this week at practice really trying to talk to Josh Navratil and Tom Dosh about why is 2024 different than 2023 when it comes to the play of the outside backers. I mean, I probably am the one who has probably complained the most on radio and TV about, you know, just the lack of negative plays there. After the Jackson Turner era, you know, I just don't think the personnel was probably good enough. I think the surprise was that I thought Josh Navratil was going to be the next superstar, and then he was just kind of quiet last year. And Tom Dosh's explanation kind of made sense to me. He said Josh Navratil is a very smart kid and that he was always checking the boxes and making sure that he was in the right play. And I think Tom Dosh's message to Navratil this year was cut loose. You know, I think it was just stop making sure that everything is perfect and the plan is perfect and just cut loose and go make plays. And I think that message must have hit home with Navratil. And then I think it's body types and personnel. And I think, you know, Rucker was ready to move into that impactful role. Riley Gerhardt has provided some punch as an experienced kid out of Valley City. Now I think their depth there is going to be tested this week. They're going to have to continue to find some bodies to fill in. Like Dylan Boker didn't play against San Diego, and you know they need to continue to find guys. Whether it's Logan Dell, Kellen Kinsler, those guys are going to have to prove that they're showing signs of being those next guys up in the program here.
Corner play. Let's transition to the secondary. We know the safeties are young. I think they had what appeared to be a gaffe, the second touchdown last week. Safety broke up. I don't know quite what happened there, but, you know, wide open in the end zone. So I think those are going to happen, you know, like we've talked about. That's we understand that. But then Tyler Erkman got his first career interception. So great for him. Everyone remembers their first. I wrote that in my write up. It's huge. I mean, it just is. It's like, yeah, you get that first interception, the greatest feeling in the world when you're a DB, especially when you're a freshman, because now you got it out of the way, and now you got three and a half more years to load up. But corner play has been good. Corner play has been solid. Those guys, you know, Jasim Reed was good. He was good last week, and obviously they felt he was good. And they liked their matchup because they threw at him all game. You know, they threw his way all game. But Devin Hembree has just been – he's been a ball hawk, been aggressive. You know, I think – I recall him getting beat bad once against Idaho State, but I think it was 38-0 at the time when he got beat. But, this just the secondary play, Tom, appears to be a little more lively as well, especially out at corner.
Yeah, I just think where they're at now versus a year ago is just such an improvement. You know, I've been pumping the tires of Devin Hembree for a while now, and the transformation he's made from coming out of junior college, just bad body language initially, struggling to crack that lineup. You know, Edmund Okanzi started over him, and, you know, Okanzi's at Mankato now. So Hembree has just made some great strides, and I think he's playing it. I mean, a couple interceptions, say you add one or two more here as the year goes on. You know, you're talking, if UND wins enough games, you know, he's on All-American caliber level to me. You know, I don't know if I'd vote him there right this minute, but I think he's on that path. You know, and Antonio blew it. Jamal Dixon's been banged up, but you're starting to see a little bit better depth there with Avery Scott. It hasn't been a huge drop-off when he's come into the game. So, yeah, I just think there's there's a little bit more depth there, and guys just kind of hit their stride. I think we might even see some Marcus Wall get mixed in. He's been on the good side of the field here at practice lately. He's undersized, but he's emerging as well.
You know, talking about the youth, what guy did, you know, on either side of the ball, were you like, I can't wait to see this guy in game action, maybe a younger guy? And, you know, tell us about that. Who was on your radar and how are they doing right now?
Well, I think Lance Rucker was obviously the one that, like, he passes the eye test.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was almost too easy, right? That's a slam dunk. You know, watching fall camp, I think there's still a ton of intrigue and dang. You know, I think people are a little impatient and, you know, itching to see him in a game. And I think it'll be interesting when that does happen, but I'm not entirely surprised we haven't seen it. But there's just so much to like there. And along with Dang is Eric Pei of Grand Forks Central. You've seen him. I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, the last couple of weeks he's been dressed after that injury to Braden Moore. You know, he's not far off and is considered really high end eventually. And so those are a few guys that, you know, I'm really curious to see Dang and Eric Pei cut loose, two guys who are basically pretty new to football and have the potential to be just considered these really diamonds in the rough that North Dakota was just super fortunate that they probably only went to one college football camp. It happened to be yours, and you're lucky in that regard.
Speaking of young, first full year playing, super dynamic, totally twitchy guys, how about Sawyer Seidel? Jesus. Yeah. Was there ever
say that name? Yeah.
Was there ever a more important run than that 70-yarder, Tom, when there was no juice in that building and everyone was it 14-3, I believe, at the time.
It was.
And there was a lot of doubt going on, and he just turns the corner and that building changed completely.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably offensively like the biggest breakout player. You know, Caleb Olsen on the offensive line might have surprised me the most. But Sawyer Seidel, I mean, you know, I knew he had that kind of breakaway speed in him. I think this year what surprised me the most is their ability to run in between the tackles and his toughness to go along with that home run hitting. I thought that maybe we would just see him slowly emerge in it as this, like, Luke Scopna fill-in. But, gosh, I mean, he might be asking for more carries at this level of play that he's provided. And there's been a couple times on kick returns that I've thought that, that's really close to break. And you know, with Sean Kostich kind of dialing it up as a special teams coordinator, he's going to have a couple different opportunities to break free in the kick return game.
Hey, going around the Missouri Valley before we let you go here, Tom, you know, it seems things are a little more even this year. South Dakota State, you know, obviously great defense. I think the running backs are okay. But, geez, they struggle to put up points at times, even though they got Gronowski back. And, yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic down there. I think they're obviously a top three team, but not quite what they were last year. NDSU's given up a lot of rushing yards, but they're scoring efficiently, and they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So it's like, okay, you know, they're always up there. We know that, but they're not dominant like they used to be. I don't know. This thing seems, I think week to week as we go, it's going to be a little more interesting. You know, I mean, am I seeing that right, guys? That there could be some random upsets to where the leaderboard isn't quite as established this year?
I think it's up for grabs, personally. I think anything can happen this year, especially with those top five teams. I mean, the whole 3-1 teams on the top. I don't know if Tom agrees with that, but yeah, it's up for grabs.
Yeah, I think there's certainly question marks about the two teams that everybody anticipated, you know, NDSU and SDSU at being at the top of the heap. You know, there's certainly question marks there. I think what's really surprised me, too, is like, this expectation in this offseason that perhaps that second tier was going to just leap over North Dakota. You know, your Northern Iowas, your Southern Illinois, your Illinois States, your Youngstown States, that group has really underperformed to the point that makes you think that there's no reason that North Dakota can't be, you know, right in that conversation with North Dakota State and South Dakota State. just some of the struggles that like Youngstown, Illinois State, you know, Southern Illinois coming off a loss. Northern Iowa's had some head scratching moments this year. I don't know what's going on there other than, you know, I think their offensive coordinator, you know, must have left town there right before the season starts. And I don't know if they're continuing with the old, spread it out and whip it around. I don't know what's going on, but something doesn't seem to be in sync there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really interesting that, you know, North Dakota was assumed to have been passed over by that kind of next tier teams. And I think UND has shown that they've kind of been able to say, hey, wait a minute here.
You know, while we got you on the horn, before we let you go too, the facilities have changed so much in the past couple of years, Tom. Wasn't always fun to drive up to campus and go cover the team. You had parking issues and walk into an old building. But talk about what you guys have written about it, but what's it like in the practice area now? Like, it's got to be way different.
Yeah, and just a year ago, it felt like, you know, it almost felt like you were in like this JUCO setting where you got a hole in the ground where Memorial Stadium was. You know, you got a busted parking lots between Pratt Row and the stadium. You know, I had seen the artist renderings, but you didn't feel it yet. You know, and now you go out there and it just feels like such a high-end Division One setting with Memorial Village 1 built on one side, Memorial Village 2, you know, rising out of the skyline across the way, the softball field looking really nice. You know, they're wrapping up the addition to the Pollard over there, and everybody's loving on that. So from my perspective, it's a heck of a setting. You know, Memorial Village 1, I could pop into and take a phone call and work on my computer while I can look out the glass doors and still see practice and make sure everything's going the way I thought it might. So, hey, it's a lot different than the era of, you know, 100 shovels out there on Memorial Stadium getting the – field shoveled off and standing in the metal bleachers, you know, different world.
Well, just, yeah, I know they wanted to put it all in one building in next to the indoor, but the Hawk Walk, that's all going to work out. You like how it's set up?
Oh, I mean, just think of trying to convince a kid to come to North Dakota and maybe they've got questions about the weather and you can tell them that you're going to meet with your academic advisor in Memorial Village 1. You're going to have a team meeting over there and Memorial Village 1 in the corner, and then if you want to get your weights in, throw the football around, you don't have to walk outside in the cold of Grand Forks. You just take that little, you know, temperature-controlled walkway between, you know, Memorial Village 1 and the addition to the Pollard Center, and I don't know, you can be a complete student-athlete without having to step into the elements of Grand Forks that you guys and I know can be not the best. I just think that whole, like, completing that entire loop can be so beneficial to the football program.
I think you just made a couple guys in here jealous, Tom. But you guys would have hated having that,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
I think it toughened us up, really.
You like shoveling, right? That was your weight workout for the day?
Yeah, yep. spring ball, and, you know, whether it was just going to be shoveling that day or if anyone was going to show up. From what plant services to do anything, but then they told us they couldn't because it was the turf back then, turf or whatever you want to call it. Well, they couldn't drive their machines on it or the sweepers
would
damage it.
It was like concrete. How could you not drive on that? But it's sad that this is the part that the public doesn't get to see. You know, we get to go to the Alaris Center every Saturday. That's why I wanted to give you a little update because I'm just guessing the individual meeting rooms, and I've heard the team meeting room is just unbelievable. We should be watching Sunday football in there.
Right. Two halves, two screens. They run a divider down the middle, offense, defense. And it's a different world from what we had. I mean, we were in the old, you know, Memorial Stadium, which was built in 1927. And,
updated since 1927.
Half the toilets worked, and, you know, meeting room was, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe let's call it 40 by 20, maybe for 100 guys.
If that,
to sit, you'd full put out chairs. Everyone had to grab a chair, set it out quick. And it was, but the thing is, and then the weight room was right next to that. And that was, but that was, we kind of liked that way. Dark, a little dingy, and, you know, and old.
Never hurt anyone, right?
Yeah. And, but the thing is, what when they were tearing it down, I remember writing, I said, you know, but it was ours, and it was all ours. So there was pride there. It was like, all right, you know, this is all ours. Nobody else is in here. Nobody else wants to be in here. So it's all ours. Let's just, you know, we're proud of it. You go in and out. And yeah, it was old as
Embrace
hell.
The suck, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it'll be great for you. Can't do that these days anymore, obviously. But yeah, the difference when I'm driving up there, just when you come over the bridge, or, you know, head down University even, and you head west. And all those, you know, the new dorms that went up, and all the empty grass fields where they tore down all the old buildings, yeah, and the married housing that got tore down. And it's just a different vibe.
It's the newer but the old feel to it. I mean, they did a great job with everything.
Give Kennedy credit. It was his. I mean, he was the one who didn't listen to anyone and like, nope, this is what we're doing. We're tearing down old stuff. Whoa, it's good. Oh, everyone was complaining. I remember, oh, they've got historic value. No, they don't. They're horrible buildings.
Right.
You know, that are falling apart, and they need to be torn down.
They should have been
torn. Now nobody cares.
Should have been torn down during the flood, but they just survived. Right. Yeah. They got past that somehow. I don't know. But
well, that's going to do it. Thanks, Tom, for joining us. As always, God, he's great, isn't he, guys? A wealth of knowledge. Probably sees more of the UND football program than anyone outside of the program.
Yeah, he's our eyes and ears for sure.
Yeah, we sure do appreciate Tom Miller, the beat writer of the Grand Forks Herald, our Development Homes 360 guest of the week. Well, now it's time to look ahead. It's the Toasted Frog 360 game preview. Murray State, the Alaris Center homecoming, 1 o'clock kickoff. And, you know, that evening kickoff was fun, but homecoming, 1 o'clock seems like an appropriate kickoff time, don't you guys think?
People need time to get out, have some fun afterwards.
Yeah,
it's an economic. You know, we do 1 o'clock anyway, but in this case in particular, I mean, it's an economic development thing too, isn't it? I mean, just to get people time to go out around town,
go out to dinner,
go to the Toasted Frog for dinner. Yeah, we're gonna have time to get them there.
Yep. No. So it'll be good. You know, 1 o'clock. I like the 1 o'clocks. I like the noons. Do we have any this year? I didn't even look.
Is South Dakota State a noon game?
I kind of like that. When was it, last year or the year before, we did a noon? Just, I don't know. There's a difference between noon and 1 for
me. Stuff done in the morning your whole afternoon isn't.
All of a sudden the game's kicking off and you're there. You know, you're not waiting around, killing time. So I kind of like that. I like those. They're better, but that'd be a good atmosphere. Murray State, what do we got? 1-2, the Racers tank.
I was going to say, Matt, you mentioned earlier in the show, was it enough of a letdown to be that game for us on the schedule this year?
My gut tells me that it was. I think we learned the lesson that I don't know how you can come out more flat, especially when we started out with an interception and then just nothing for a full quarter. But Kelly alluded to this too, that I'm impressed with the way we responded. So if we can respond that way when things are not going for us at all, where there's low energy, the building is low energy, the Alaris isn't alive like it can be, and just seeing the turnaround that we had, that gives me a lot of optimism, because these guys are tuned into what type of team they are. The senior leadership, the junior leadership on the team knows what they have to do. And I think it's a learning process, right? I mean, these guys are learning every game a little bit more of what kind of team they are. And I like to see that in the way they turn it around. And we wanted to see a letdown. We want this lesson early in the week. This is what our preseason or our non-conference season is all about. It's learning what type of team we are. So I think it was good overall.
You guys aren't expecting this week to...
I think it's a Missouri... It's a Missouri Valley. I think it's a homecoming game. It's a Hall of Fame game. Energy is going to be up. I think we're locked and loaded now.
Yeah.
I think.
Missouri Valley opener, homecoming. Yeah, they'll be fine. I'm not worried about that at all. You know, it's probably overblown. It's more, you know, it's just a football game against a team you can beat. Murray State's picked last in the Missouri Valley for a reason. They haven't been good in quite a long time. Got a new coach, though, Jody Wright. I think Dean Hood was there forever.
What a great name, huh?
Yeah.
Dean Hood. Yeah. Why don't you come play football for me? I'm Dean Hood.
Yeah. he he retired. So Jody Wright came from South Carolina, where he coached tight ends, but longtime Southern guy from Alabama. Coached at, oh gosh, I don't know, let's call it 15 schools in 20 years type of thing. Just kept moving around. Coached in the NFL. So he's got a lot of experience. I think, you know, they'll have a renewed sense of energy, put it that way, when a new coach comes in, because, you know, it's just different and new juice. So I expect a different Murray State team than we saw down there last year. Now, last year we struggled. We started out good, and then we couldn't stop anything downfield on third and long, fourth and long. So all of a sudden the game is, oh boy, was it 38-31, I believe, in the fourth quarter, and we're getting whoa, and we're starting to get a little worried, and we end up winning 45-31. Okay. But, you know, this year, they brought in quite a few transfers.
And that can be a good thing and a bad thing.
They look better. I mean, when you watch their defense in particular, they look good.
They get after it. Yeah. They do some stunting. They do some twists up front. So our old line is going to be challenged for sure this week.
26 new transfers. I would say half the roster. When you look at it, I didn't count them, but you just scroll down and you can see other school on the far right. Half the roster is a transfer. So the coaching staff will know a lot of them because they were the last year too. But 26 new ones. Defense in particular, we can start on that side. They run a 4-2-5. Looks like, you know, kind of a down base four-man front this week, finally.
First time this year.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. You know, just see how we block it, see how we attack it. Little harder to get the doubles, I would assume, up front with a four-man front. You can get one double, I suppose. But then Jaden Norby, you know, Norby, Mason South, they'll be inserted in there. So, you know, I don't know. I don't quite know how we'll attack that, but it'll be slightly different. But what you're going to see is Murray State walk the fifth. The fifth guy in the secondary is a safety, as we see every week now. He'll walk up. There's going to be a seven-man box. I mean, they're not dumb. Everyone knows what's going on. So I'm guessing man-to-man.
Yeah.
I'm guessing seven-man box, and I'm guessing they're going to take their chances, and it'll be pretty similar to last week.
Are you excited to see this front with our offensive line finally? Like they got this look
at number 40, Detoye Adewale, 6'4", 260. So I'm seeing this guy on tape. Wow. I'm like, whoa, okay. He's sticking out on tape, obviously. Big guy. But he's good. He's twitchy. He's good. And he makes plays. And they got a few defensive ends, 6'3 range, you know, 250. And this is a good-looking front now. What you want to do with that is you just want to get after him. Just like we did last week, number zero, he was 6'4", 260. He's a good player, too. For San Diego, we just ran straight at him. You don't mess around with him. You don't let him come off the edge, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You just run straight at him, if anything, you know, to make him just kind of lock up in place. So they allow 50% on third down, 50% conversion. Now, I don't know how Missouri skewed those stats because it was 51-0. But there's chances here. And, you know, they'll bring the linebacker. They'll bring a fifth guy, like Matt alluded to. They'll do some stuff up front. But I think it's just a straight-ahead game plan again. Take some shots downfield now that we've shown that. See, we get the here's the key, though. We got that on tape. They will go downfield. Yeah. Okay. DBs, you know, you got to be ready. They'll go downfield. Well, now you can break off routes. You know, you can run your comeback routes. You can run your hitches. You can run your outs. You can run it all now because it's on tape. We don't just throw five-yard passes. We don't just throw bubbles, you know, and stuff. We got the stock and go. Okay, we got that on tape from last week. What's going to work this week? The bubble should work as long as they're not manned up. You know, as long as it's not press man, the bubble should work because now the outside guy, he knows there was a stock and go built in. So it's just things like that, you know, the coaches get this stuff on tape for a reason. They run it because they need points, but they also run it for a reason.
To help plan their offense for next week. There's a strategy, right?
Yeah. And it, you know, not so, looking ahead again, but there might be a few more wrinkles in our offense this week just to...
Well, for NDSU, you can see us.
I mean, that GA is coming up. I got 4 weeks here. I'll be all ready for next week. Right. They never throw deep and then have to go back to the drawing board. Yeah,
right. But, yeah, so... I think there's plenty of opportunities this week. I mean, Murray State's picked, you know, they lost to Butler. Okay, Butler. Butler's not very good.
In my notes that my producer put together for me, it says loss to Butler, not good.
Right.
Top producer that I pay big bucks to make myself sound as good as I am right here, right?
It's not good when you lose to Butler. It's not. And, you know, I'm not as worried. The offense now, let's flip sides. Jaden Johansson, South Dakota kid. Okay, interesting, because DJ Williams, their quarterback, transferred to Southern Illinois, I believe. He was the one who gave us issues last year. So DJ Williams is gone, new coaching staff. They bring in Jaden Johansson from South Dakota School of Mines. He's a Sioux Falls kid. Tore it up, Division II, South Dakota School of Mines. I think they're in the RMAC. Tore it up. They're 8,000 yards, 74 touchdowns in his career. Good player, can run a little bit, you know, not a design runner, but he can move. So they bring him in to run the offense, and it's interesting. It's a no huddle, but up tempo. So our offense is no huddle, average tempo. They
can go when there. They need to, but
yep. But yeah. Don't. Yeah, no. Don't, because they want to control, you know, they want 11-minute drives.
Do you find them saying, snap the ball, because they're out of the huddle, and they're looking, you look at the play clock, and it's like 21 still. It's wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's just the thought process of an old coordinator. Yeah. All it is. But, no, up-tempo, though. They'll get up there, and they'll snap it. So UND's got to get the calls in. But what that does to you is it bases your call, bases them up. Just, you can't do anything real exotic typically, because you're not quite sure what they're in. And once you do see what formation they're in and personnel, do you have time to call that exotic blitz in? Probably not. So then that's why the offenses move fast like that, so they can get a base look coming at them. And so I'm seeing a little bit more of that. Four-man, I think we rush four again, because it's 11 personnel. Well, the tight end flexes out every once in a while, or he's in. But when we see 11 personnel, we get out of the 3-4, we go to a four. We go to four-man front.
Our stud linebacker puts his hand on the ground.
So now, once again, just like every team in the country, if you can get pressure with four, well, now you're going to probably win the game. Well, I mean, if you're getting in there with four, it's over.
The quick offense, and we get some three and outs, that means their defense is going to be very tired. We've been holding the ball.
That's a great point. And we need to just wear them out. Yeah. Defensively, yeah.
We got the 12th man in the crowd, so on third and long, it's going to be hard for them to communicate. Yeah.
I think
they've never experienced that. They've played outside their whole lives, probably. So when was the last time they played in an indoor stadium? They play the Bison last year in Fargo?
They come to Murray.
Or did they play Golden?
They might have came here. Yeah, well, they came to our... Well, came out, what, 2 years ago? No, that was Western Illinois I'm thinking of. Yeah.
I think this is the second year that they're in Missouri.
Yep.
Last year they were the first year.
Yeah, they'll probably be new for a lot of them. But when I'm looking at my notes, they're 2-1 run to pass early in the season. They run twice as much as they pass. That's not going to happen in this one. No way, no hell. No way. I mean, they're not dumb. So they're not going to run the ball very well. I can just tell you that right now. It's going to be a 2-1 pass to run in this game for them. They're going to spread us out. They're going to throw quick. They're going to see the tape. They're going to know, you know, that Idaho State's game plan didn't work. Okay, because they line up similar to Idaho State, but they have a tight end in the game. I can see them keeping that tight end in. Max protecting. That's what works against us. It works against our pressure is max protect. And four-man front, you can keep the fifth, you know, sixth blocker in, I guess you call it. You could release the back if you wanted to then, type of thing. So, yeah, it'll be, I don't know, be interesting. See how they come out and attack us. Just like I said, a lot of 11 personnel, and I'm seeing a quick passing game type of thing. And token running, it's not going to work very well, I would assume. But, yeah, we're going to have – do we get in? Do we have time to get those calls in? I don't know. You know, that's interesting. Do we have time to dial up? You know, I suppose you could send Pedigo. You get a fifth guy coming. But you can't get real exotic against this, because they spread you out. Like I said, against Idaho State, it was bracket coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Bring four, bracket with seven. Is that this week? Somewhat, but not as much, you know, type of thing. But, yeah, it'll be, I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm rambling here. I'm just brain dumping on everyone. What are you guys' thoughts on the overall game flow of this one?
Well, I think that Murray is going to get overwhelmed pretty quickly, in my opinion. That, you know, I don't think that they know the Alaris Center. It's going to be hyped up, big atmosphere. I think that, you know, we'll probably defer and want them to take the ball first, you know, and try to play the chess game with them a little bit. And hopefully they do. And hopefully we come out and we're loud on first down. And we send a message right away. And as long as we do that, we're going to be in really good shape. I don't really see them accomplishing much on offense. I think, you know, maybe look for another pick six.
Wow.
Fumble.
Opportunities. Like that.
Yep. There's opportunity.
I think there's going to be opportunity for that. Maybe a scoop and score maybe by our front four or front three.
We get pressure with four. We're in business. It's over. Right. I mean, it's simple. If we're not getting pressure with four, they're going to make plays.
It's going to be a closer game.
Yep.
And, you know, I think with the lessons learned from last week, the way our defensive line is playing, we're going to be able to get into the backfield. You know, Beach, Navratil, Rucker, those guys up front are going to be able to give them a long day on that offensive line,
Jack Tyken. Moorhead guy.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, there's more names here, but there's lots of names.
D-line. We need D-linemen. You know, just randomly. Doesn't have to be a lot, but one or two times a game they got to slip through. They got to make their own plays.
And so far, so good. They have. They did it against Montana. They did it against Iowa. So, I mean, we're seeing a upward progression with our D-line. And as long as we're going to keep that 3-4 defense, we need those guys to do that. So far, they're doing it.
Speaking of which, the crowd, you know, you brought up a good point, Matt. We talked about this before. Third down, we're good. You know, they do a good job getting you pumped up on third down. But first and second got to be better. And I think, you know, what the crowd wants to be, they want to be rewarded, right?
Right.
Okay, number one, they want to be rewarded. So if they're going to get off their butt and they're going to scream as loud as they can, they want to see us make the play and get off the field, right? So that's third down. But if we mix in first and second louder, get louder on first and second, third will be better. You know what I mean? It kind of works together because now it's third and eight. You know, if it's third and three all the time, probably not going to, you know, be able to reward you as great. But if we get louder first and second, I mean, the place is unlike
that's
any
the
other
the only
country.
Thing that's lacking on a week-to-week basis is we got to be trained to be up on our feet yelling on first and second down, and then that place will be really tough to.
We're being rewarded on third. The crowd is being rewarded on third down.
Yeah, yeah.
This team is producing. So let's start to mix in second. Let's start with second. Okay, second and third. Just stay on your feet, right?
A message to you, new freshman this year too on the team. Part of your job, you remember this, Kelly, is that you got to get the crowd going a little bit too. I mean, you're paying attention during the game. You can't go on the field, but you know, get your arms up in there and get the crowd going. Get it
waving
involved.
The towels.
Waving the towels. Yeah, all that.
Oh, you got Markey. Markey's on the sideline getting people going, right? So he's doing his job every game.
He's one of the originators.
Yeah, Mark's always getting people up. So that you got the players, get on. They'd stand on the bench waving the towels.
As a fan, do your part. Hey, come on. Let's get up on first down.
So
it's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's getting there. I think you can sense it. You can sense they're feeling the old defense is starting to, you know, trickle back in where we're going to make some plays and we're going to have some fun, pick sixes and stuff like that.
Keep the Sac City boys busy all year.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job. Yeah. That sign's
let's
back
see how
again.
Well
they've been they've been turning numbers over there.
Let's see how well they know how to, if they can count past five. Wouldn't that be fun?
There we go.
Yeah, let's see how they do. I guess the last thing we got to do here, guys, is really put our signature on this week and score predictions. And I'm just going to hope, I'm just going to flat out say, I hope I have this week and last week reversed. Because I went big last week. And
I did too. I was
like, oh boy. I really felt, I'm just going to say, I felt like a dumbass in the first half. I really did. And this week I'm going to go 42-17.
Okay.
Yeah.
42-17. Yeah. All right. I can see that.
I don't know if they can get 17 on us. I hope I don't look like a fool for saying that again. But
they can play. Yeah, they got players too.
They watch game film all week.
We've got a really good team too, guys. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say 42-17.
Matt, what do you think?
I'm thinking probably. I think we're gonna be in the 50s, but I think we're gonna. I'm thinking that 52. You know, 17, 21, somewhere in there.
Okay. Yeah, we seem to give up some points late in these games.
I kind of have that feel like
a random touchdown at the end will throw off your prediction type of thing.
My gut that's why I shot big last week.
My gut tells me is it's going to be the kind of the opposite of last week where we come out guns a-blazing through three quarters. We're going to get up big like 40, 45 to maybe 3 or 7.
45.
What? In the third quarter.
No pressure.
Right. But then, you know, like, okay, we got this in the bag, and then they're going to score some touchdowns in the late third, fourth quarter, and then pull back in a little bit more.
I used to call that garbage time until Coach Lennon corrected me. We don't look at any of it. We're always evaluating it.
Yeah.
I said that in a post game. So I've never called it that.
Wow, so. The sense of urgency isn't quite there. It is,
for us as a broadcaster, the fourth quarter in a blowout, Kelly, you remember those. You're looking for anything to talk about, right?
Especially when you're losing.
And you
know, what was that game? I did radio sideline 2008. Let's call it Stephen F. Austin.
Oh, boy.
Third road game in a row. It was 90 degrees. And the team was dead, and I mean dead, because we're down in Texas now. They had flown to Texas, Louisiana, and now Texas.
That was the crazy year. We were all over the place.
Yeah, it was brutal, and I'm standing on their sideline. It ended 65-7. We returned, I think, the opening kickoff or the second kickoff of the game or something. Well, it must have been the opening. We only scored one touchdown for a touchdown, and that was our only score. 65-7. That third and fourth quarter was rough for us. It was Dan Hammer, Mike Burke. We didn't have much to say. I'm like, hey, you know, and we're just dying. Oh, man, and it's 90 degrees.
Those are the tough ones.
It was brutal. But, oh, this one, I wrote down 44-13. That's what I had written
down. Well, we're all in the ballpark.
Yeah, I think it's a methodical, solid win, just like we talked about. I just think it's a good win. Just a nice quality win. Everything looks good. 44-13.
Want to get out healthy. Right?
Yeah, get out of this thing healthy and get ready for next week.
Cool.
Amen.
What do we think?
I guess we should end this. Huh? Yeah. Really nothing else to say. Huh?
Blowout predictions from everybody, but well, they're picked last in the Pioneer, picked last in the Missouri Valley.
They might be picked last in the Pioneer this year, the way that's been going.
It'll be fun. Everyone's got to get out, you know, make a weekend of it. The weather's going to be beautiful again. I'm seeing 80s again. I don't know what's going on here, but this is beautiful. So, yeah, it'd be a fun weekend.
Those are the days where I love our facility. I love where we play, but it makes it a little harder to walk in for a game when it's so
a little
beautiful
bit.
Out.
You start to miss old Memorial.
Yeah,
nice September days.
Those nice fall days outside at Memorial, those were tough to beat. So, hey, we want to thank our sponsors again, Rumor Sports Bar, Grill and Casino. Make sure that's your headquarters for UND football when you're in Grand Forks. They'll take great care of you. Development Homes, Inc., they're your gaming, simulcast, horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel, all of my favorite things. Development Home Inc. Thanks. Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance. Do you give free quotes?
Always.
Always free quotes? Always. Look at that. Yeah. You got a special this week?
Just giving them away.
Probably next week you might get that free quote as well.
Quote in a koozie tank as soon as they come in.
Toasted Frog, fine dining in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo. Again, make the Toasted Frog your destination for dinner when you're supporting UND football. 1883 Collective, the NIL arm for UND Athletics. It's basically what we were saying. We're paying the players now, right? And that's a big arm of doing that. Interstate Industrial, steam cleaning and painting in the Bakken oil fields. Marty Shade, thank you so much for your continued sponsorship. And American Solutions for Business. Tank McNamara, all your promotional products, corporate apparel, and print needs. And again, thank you to KFGO, Joel Heitkamp, letting us use the facilities here in the KFGO building. We surely appreciate it. So now all we got to do is wait for kickoff and let the boys do the rest, and hopefully we'll have something to talk about next week's show. I don't know.
Maybe on location, too.
Wherever we are.
Yeah. Wherever, you never know.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week. This is the UND Football 360 pregame show.